The first case this morning is Thermal Design versus American Society. And that's all I have in my card. I know the title is much longer. Mr. Shep? Or Ms. Shep? Sorry.
May it please the court. Good morning. My name is Rachel Shep, and I am one of the attorneys representing Thermal Design in this appeal today. I am joined here by Attorney Armstrong, and we will be splitting our argument on the appeal today. I will be addressing the unfair competition portion of the argument, as well as the motion to compel, and Attorney Armstrong will then address the 100.18 portion of the appeal. So, moving to the first issue in the appeal, on the unfair competition claim, the district court granted ASHRAE's motion for summary judgment on Thermal Design's unfair competition claim on the basis that Thermal Design did not compete with ASHRAE and therefore could not state a claim for unfair competition under Wisconsin common law. The district court's decision was an error and should be reversed because although Thermal Design does not compete with ASHRAE, Thermal Design does compete with ASHRAE's agents.
What is your best case in Wisconsin demonstrating that you have a cause of action for the tort of unfair competition against an organization that does not compete with you directly? What is your best case?
The best case that is out there, period, would be Hydro Level. And that is actually a United States Supreme Court decision. That decision is very analogous factually and legally. In Hydro Level, there was a nonprofit standard-setting organization, much like ASHRAE, and that standard-setting organization worked through its volunteers to set a standard that was adopted in various jurisdictions. And in that case, there was one competitor for a company called M&M who worked his way onto the standard-setting organization and manipulated that standard-setting organization in order to prevent a competitor, in that case Hydro Level, from entering and being able to compete fully in the market. In that case, the United States Supreme Court held that the standard-setting organization was responsible for the conduct of its agents when they were acting with apparent authority.
Why did why didn't you simply sue the agents directly?
I can answer that question. It's not really part of the record. That really has to do more with this, I think, the pretrial strategy of who we chose to sue. But the reason we felt we could just sue ASHRAE were cases like Hydro Level, which discuss the apparent agency argument. So we can sue the principal when the principal has agents who are acting with apparent authority who are committing those torts.
Now, of course, the district court found that you failed to cite any cases applying Wisconsin common law to facts like these. So what you're telling me is the district court was wrong? There is such a Wisconsin case?
Well, I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
Yeah. The district court found that you failed to cite any cases that apply Wisconsin common law to facts like these. And what I'm asking you, was the district court wrong? In other words, you did cite some Wisconsin case?
I think to answer that question, what we need to do is go back to some earlier decisions by the district court. And what the district court held early on in the case is that the competition that you have to show an unfair competition claim, in this case, you would have to show competition between ASHRAE and Thermal Design. And early on in the case, we explained these principles of agency, which Wisconsin law does recognize as far as apparent authority. And the district court said, no, if you're going to prove this case to me, if you're going to establish this case, you need to show how you compete with ASHRAE. So on summary judgment, we were left arguing either that we compete directly with ASHRAE, which we don't, and we've never alleged that we do, or we were left to argue that you don't need competition in order to state an unfair competition claim. And that is what And that is what the court was saying, that you can't cite any Wisconsin law which says you don't need to be in competition. And so I think that's where the court's focus was do you have to be in competition? And we couldn't cite a Wisconsin case that said you don't have to be in competition.
So the common law tort of for the common law tort of unfair competition, you don't have to have competition.
No, we are here before the court. We are saying you have to have competition, and you can satisfy that element of competition through the acts of an agent. Now, in the district court, the court earlier on in the case ruled out that possibility and said, it doesn't matter to me that ASHRAE's agents are your competitors. You need to demonstrate to me that you compete directly with ASHRAE, or you need to convince me that you don't need to be in competition, period, in order to bring the claim. Sorry.
So would Consumer Reports magazine be liable to Chevrolet if it mistakenly said that Ford had bigger cargo space or better gas mileage?
Speaking for in context of the unfair competition claim, that is an intentional tort. So a complete mistake with no intentional conduct on the part of the agents, or with no ratification by the principal of that conduct on the part of the agents, then no, they wouldn't have that liability for a mistake. But when you have for unfair competition, but when you have, as in our case, a principal who has agents, and those agents are committing intentional torts, intentionally misrepresenting things to the full committees, intentionally publishing false information, those sorts of things, and they're acting with apparent authority, then the principal is liable. And that's really what Hydro Level says. And there's another way, even beyond the apparent agency theory of liability, where you hold the principal liable for the acts of the agent acting with apparent authority. That's one way that ASHRAE is responsible. The other way is just a straight ratification, where you have this conduct that we've alleged, these intentional torts ongoing by the agents. And then in 2010, ASHRAE, the organization ASHRAE, admitted that the values that were in the standard for certain types of systems, specifically over the Perlin systems, were incorrect. And they published a press release and they said, these values are incorrect. They've been incorrect. Here's what we propose we change them to. Here's the corrected values. And then for year after year after year after that press release, they published the incorrect information again. And
now, ASHRAE has pointed out that the so-called agents who are competitors or the alleged, who are competitors, make up only a small minority of ASHRAE and could not have changed the result of the consensus vote on the standard. So if we took out, in other words, if we took out the competing members, the same standards would have been published. So why should ASHRAE be liable to you as a competitor? I mean, how can the intent of a minority be imputed to an entire organization?
I have a number of ways that I think it's worth responding to that question, Your Honor. First, there is no evidence in this record which would support the statement that if you removed these specific agents from the picture, that the standard would have been the same. Our position is that these individuals effectively manipulated the standard so that it was incorrect to their benefit and to Thermal Design's detriment. And really, the heart of your question is causation, and that is a question for the trier of fact, not something on which you would grant summary judgment. The other thing is, you know, we do have evidence in the record from our experts and from our lay witnesses, which explain exactly, it goes right to your point, Your Honor, that one or two members of these committees can, in fact, affect the outcome of the standard. Because I mean, we have documents and memos to that effect where There's actually one document where somebody from ASHRAE is complaining and saying there's only one or two people really active on this committee, you know, referencing that everyone else should start pulling their weight because only a few people are participating. And so there definitely is evidence in the record to support the fact that a small number can influence the majority. And, in fact, that's what happened in Hydro Level. Hydro Level involved a large standard-setting organization well-known throughout the country. And in that case, it was one individual whom effectively manipulated the standard.
But wasn't there a finding by the district court that ultimately, when you take the facts in the light most favorable to the non-movement, there simply was no evidence that a jury could conclude from that there was an anti-competitive agreement? I didn't see an argument challenging that finding by the district court.
Right. We did not appeal the antitrust portion of the court's decision. And what you're referring to, I think the key word that you said was agreement. And so the court, district court, held that Thermal Design did not, and I see my time's up, but can I finish answering this question?
Sure. That
the district court held that there was not sufficient evidence of a conspiracy, which means an agreement among this competitor, and this competitor. That does not mean that each of them in their own self-interest were not committing these intentional torts. There just wasn't sufficient evidence of them talking to each other and agreeing and combining. So I think that answers your question.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, my name is Tom Armstrong, and I am here to address the statutory cause of action that was asserted by Thermal Design against ASHRAE. That is a claim under Wisconsin Statute 100.18. The district court dismissed that cause of action under a 12b6 motion for failure to state a claim. And there are two sub-issues here that are present for the court. And the first of that is whether ASHRAE is a proper defendant in this 100.18 claim. And ASHRAE's position is that it is not a proper defendant because it did not, through its standards, attempt to induce Wisconsin consumers to purchase over the Perlin systems as opposed to the linear system that is manufactured and sold by Thermal Design. If we take a look at Section 100.18, that statute prescribes any misrepresentation by a corporation or its agent which is intended to induce a Wisconsin consumer into purchasing a product. And similar to the unfair competition claim here, the allegation that we have made, which is accepted as true for purposes of 12b-6, is that various agents of ASHRAE who were instrumental in having the standard adopted, did intentionally skew the standard so that it could induce Wisconsin consumers to purchase the over-the-Perlin system. It falls squarely within the language of Section 100.18, and that is Thermal Design, regardless of whether Thermal Design was, ASHRAE was intending to induce consumers to purchase anything, as they claim. We have alleged that the agents here of ASHRAE were intending to gain competitive advantage and to induce Wisconsin consumers into purchasing products that did not have the thermal capacity that was represented to the consumers. The second part of the 100.18 claim is whether Thermal Design is a proper plaintiff in this case. Now, the district court in this case relied upon several decisions of the Western District of Wisconsin, which hold that interpreting Novell, which is a decision of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that the plaintiff must show reliance upon the misrepresentation. We believe that the literal language of the statute belies that claim. The statute itself, like many other courts have observed, provides that a misrepresentation that is made to the public, to consumers, is actionable by any person, not just the consumer, if the misrepresentation to the public caused the third-party pecuniary loss. And that's exactly what occurred here. We are alleging, in this case, that the misrepresentations made to Wisconsin consumers resulted in those consumers purchasing competitive products which caused a pecuniary loss to Thermal Design. And we would submit that the decisions by the Western District, which really weren't fully briefed if we look at those cases, but the decisions by the Western District all interpret Novell as requiring plaintiff's reliance, when I think a reading of Novell makes it quite clear that what is required is consumer reliance, so that a cause of action is asserted under 100.18 by a competitor, as courts around the country have held, and this court has held interpreting the Illinois Deceptive Practices Act, that a cause of action may be maintained by a competitor where the other competitor has caused Wisconsin consumers to purchase products because of a misrepresentation. And therefore, we submit that under 100.18, we have stated a viable cause of action.
Doesn't Novell contain language, though, that, to quote it, they say, this court and the Court of Appeals have made clear that the purpose of Section 100.18 is to deter sellers from making false and misleading representations in order to protect the public. Isn't it a reasonable interpretation of the Wisconsin Supreme Court statement that this statute is intended to prescribe conduct of sellers?
Well, clearly the statute itself is, if you look at the two provisions in the statute, one is addressed to sellers. The other says that no person with intent to induce the public in any manner to enter into any contract or obligation. So that goes beyond sellers. And quite frankly, ASHRAE, in its brief to this court, conceded that point in a footnote. It is not maintaining that this statute is limited to sellers. And in fact, the Tim Torrey's case, which is a Wisconsin Court of Appeals decision that was cited with approval in Novell, did not involve a consumer. So what we are saying here is that...
But it did involve a competitor. And in Tim Torrey's, the plaintiff was a competitor that offended. ASHRAE is not a competitor.
That is correct, Your Honor. But once again, this is kind of the theme running through this case. Whether ASHRAE is a competitor or not is not the critical issue, because ASHRAE's agents do compete. ASHRAE's agents made the misrepresentations. ASHRAE's agents induced Wisconsin consumers to buy competitive product, which caused pecuniary loss to Thermal Design. And with respect to the issue of causation, Your Honor, I have to reemphasize what my co-counsel stated, and that was not the basis of any motion in this case. It did come up in the briefing, but the district court did not rely on that other than perhaps in the antitrust context where we're talking about conspiracy. Causation is an issue that would have to be tried, and certainly a few bad apples can spoil, as we know, the bushel, and that's exactly what happened here. We had very influential members of these committees that were acting in an anti-competitive fashion in order to promote their own products, and that is why in this particular case there is liability on the part of ASHRAE for the acts of its agents, which had both apparent authority, and there's even an issue as to respondeat superior. I see my light is on. Are there no further questions?
Thank you. Mr. Wolford?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Russell Wofford, and with my colleague Merritt McAllister, we represent the American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers. You're right, Your Honor, it's a long name. We call them ASHRAE to keep it short. Thermal Design's lawyers have used the word agent and agency a good bit in their presentation to this court, and I think it's important to pull back and let's look at what that theory really must be on the facts of this case. They have alleged that Thermal Design has a number of competitors, and that those competitors belong to a number of trade associations. They're not the majority of the members of the trade associations, but they belong to the trade associations. And the trade associations have appointed two members to the ASHRAE 90.1 committee, two out of approximately 40 to 50 members. And those two institutional representatives of trade associations allegedly misrepresented certain facts to the full ASHRAE committee and caused the full ASHRAE committee to refuse to revise 90.1 in the way that Thermal Design wanted it to do. And they say because those two representatives of trade associations misrepresented something and caused ASHRAE to not take certain actions, that those two representatives of the trade associations are ASHRAE's agents. Now, we know what agents are. Agents are delegates of a principal who have been clothed at least in apparent authority, maybe actual authority, maybe applied authority, but some kind of authority from the principal to deal with third parties on behalf of the principal. And Thermal Design's lawyers said, well, what happened was these agents intentionally misrepresented things to the full ASHRAE committee. Well, let's assume that's true for purposes of this argument. If that's true, then the third party with whom these agents were dealing was the ASHRAE committee. The ASHRAE committee is not the agent of these representatives. They are agents of someone behind them, either the trade association or their employers, the members of the trade association. But it turns agency completely around to say that if I deal with you and influence you to do something, I am your agent. That makes no sense at all. You are the third party with whom I am dealing on behalf of someone else. And that's why the agency theory can't support either of the causes of action that are on appeal today.
Tell me this. What is the purpose of Wisconsin Statute 100.18.9b, exempting owners of newspapers from liability if they publish a false advertisement in good faith without knowledge of its falsity? If your argument is correct, they could not be sued, seems to me, in any case, because they're not competitors or sellers. Why, then, did they need a special exemption, do you think?
Because, Your Honor, I believe that absent that special exemption, they could be sued under the statute. We are not arguing for the narrowest possible reading of 100.18. Absent that exemption, someone could conceivably sue a newspaper because it arguably induced the public to buy something by having an advertisement in the newspaper. And there's no intentionality requirement under this statute, so whatever the misrepresentation was wouldn't have had to have been known to the newspaper, and they would have been liable. So you could satisfy the second form of intent, and the misrepresentation was clearly commercial in nature because it was an advertisement. And in its wisdom, the Wisconsin legislature decided that absent malicious intent and knowledge of the misrepresentation, they needed to exempt the press, freedom of the press, from this statute. So I think we are not arguing for a crimped reading of this statute that would protect anyone through whom a seller funneled misrepresentations. That's not what we're saying. But there is simply no evidence that anything whatever was funneled through ASHRAE, that ASHRAE is acting on behalf of anyone.
How is that ASHRAE funded?
Through membership fees, Your Honor. Through trade conventions that they hold and they rent lease space from, through the sale of publications.
Do they receive anything in addition from the members as
any sort of financial support?
Other than their membership fees.
No, Your Honor, they don't. And factual distinction here that the court may want to be aware of, ASHRAE member can be a confusing term. There are people who pay dues to ASHRAE who are members of ASHRAE, the organization. Those tend to be professional engineers. The volunteers who serve on ASHRAE committees are not necessarily members of ASHRAE. ASHRAE seeks to sweep in a wider perspective of viewpoints and so allows non-members to serve on the committees as long as they have the necessary expertise.
What's the membership requirement? What do you have to be to be a member?
You have to be willing to pay the fee. There are approximately 50,000 members in the United States and around the world, and many more volunteers that support the activities of the organization.
You opposed the motion to certify the question of the reach of the Deceptive Practice Act to the Wisconsin Supreme Court because the court has already clearly define the statute. But has the court addressed the factual scenario presented here? What would be the most on-point Wisconsin case that would resolve the question here?
Well, the question on which Thermal Design requested certification was whether the representations needed to be made to the public and relied on, or needed to be made to the plaintiff. We do not believe that there is a case that addresses that particular issue under Wisconsin law. But, Your Honor, we also don't believe that this court needs to certify that issue to the Wisconsin Supreme Court because we think there are more fundamental problems with the statutory claim, primarily that this claim is meant to address commercial representations that do or at least are intended to influence someone to buy something. And there's no evidence that either the representation in this case, which is simply the reporting of technical data in a manual, is commercial in nature. And there's no evidence that ASHRAE intended by that representation, which addresses only a broad category of products, intended anyone to buy any specific product. So we lack, under the statute, the intent and the nature of the representation. That's enough to uphold what the district court did with the statutory claim.
I take it, you know, that your bottom line argument is that attempting to apply the statute to a voluntary trade group that admittedly sets standards by consensus would be a poor fit for the law.
It would, Your Honor, except in one case, and let's talk about Hydra Level because Thermal Design has mentioned that.
I didn't see Hydra Level in your brief.
There's a reason for that, Your Honor. Here's what happened in Hydra Level. Hydra Level clothed one individual with the authority to act on its behalf. And that individual happened also to be complicit in a conspiracy against the competitor that his employer competed against. And so there was no agency problem there. In that case, where one individual wrote a letter, an unofficial response to an inquiry to the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, and that letter was then trumpeted throughout the marketplace, you don't have an agency problem. Because at ASME, that standard-setting organization, had delegated authority to one individual to do what he did, and there was evidence to suggest that there had been corruption. There's no such evidence that the entire ASHRAE committee was so corrupted in this case.
Is there evidence that even the individuals that are identified as being involved engaged in corrupt activity?
Your Honor, there isn't, Your Honor. There's not even evidence that these individuals were particularly persuasive or influential on the committee. There's
well,
evidence
even if they were influential, what's the best evidence? I mean, really, it's the argument for the other side, but was there you had full discovery in this case except for the motion to compel issue, correct?
You're right, Your Honor. It was 7 years.
Well, was there any – all right, over that 7 years, was there any evidence that anyone acted improperly at the behest of some corporation to advantage that corporation in designing these standards?
No, Your Honor, and that is in part why the district court found that under the antitrust claim there had been no evidence of conspiracy. Not exactly the same issue, but no evidence supporting the conspiracy, and similarly, no evidence that anyone had acted improperly in this case. They made arguments to each other. They voted their conscience. That's all that happened.
Did going elsewhere, did you ever raise below the issue of Thermal Design's failure to plead the deceptive practice claim with enough particularity? Because, I don't know, perhaps I'm wrong, but you seem to be raising that for the first time during the appeal, and I wondered where in the record will we find that you preserved that argument.
Your Honor, you'll find it in the first motion to dismiss Thermal Design's complaint. That was the basis for our Rule 12b-6 motion in there. Thermal Design mentions that we didn't raise it in the second and the third motion to dismiss, and that much is true, but we raised it in the first motion to dismiss. It's in the record, and this Court can rule on that issue on appeal. Unless the Court has any further questions, I thank you for your time.
I don't believe so, Counsel. Thank you. Dade, has your time expired? You have 3 minutes.
I wanted to address a few of the factual statements that were made as far as what was in the record, just to clarify. I believe there was a statement that there was no evidence of this misconduct. I mean, obviously, there was evidence of that conduct, and I can give you some examples, and they are in the record as well. For example, we have documents which show that committee chairs at ASHRAE would tell the committee, or tell the committee, when everybody submit information to me, and at the end of the week or at the end of the session, I will then distribute this material, and we'll have a vote on this particular issue. So Thermal Design submitted information on a Monday. On Tuesday, that committee chair emailed Thermal Design's documents to a competitor. That competitor then responded specifically to Thermal Design's arguments, which is not the intent of how the process is supposed to occur. And then when Thermal Design said, wait, how did this happen? Can we have the material that was submitted by our competitor? They said, no, we can't give it to you. And so there's obviously information imbalance. There's a participation imbalance. They're cutting Thermal Design off, not permitting them to participate fully in the process. There's evidence that a specific committee member knew and was told that one of the U factors was based on a different model than was actually being represented to the committee, and yet in the committee he voted for it, saying it was accurate, even though we have emails with him and a third party saying that it's not accurate. I mean, there is evidence of this conduct, and to say otherwise is not a fair representation of the record. And then as far as we had 7 years for discovery, that is not true either. There was multiple stays in this case, totaling over a year and a half of stays, because the parties were trying to reach an agreement. We had reached an agreement that was contingent on something happening the following year. That didn't happen, and so there's been a lot of stays, not to mention 4 or 5 dispositive motions that have been filed, and so discovery was not ongoing during those dispositive motions. So if you really add it up, we had about 10 months of discovery on the unfair competition and the antitrust claim. So it wasn't 7 years of discovery. As far as pleading with particularity, they pled that as a reason to dismiss the first complaint. The complaint was dismissed, and we repled it. If it wasn't with particularity, then that issue should have come back up again. If there's no further questions, then I will step down. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to all counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.